Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Calling Tau City, turn on your radio. I know we had some words last time, but that was so long ago. I got your message. It was a little harsh, you know. It's still a little hard for me to hear. Please take it slow.
Welcome to Starship Sofa, part of the District of Wonders Network. Everyone has a story in the District of Wonders. Come and find yours.
I'm tuning in to your transmissions. I'm hooning, waiting to be found. And I'm building rockets. I'm pointing them to the moon.
This is the Starship Sova. Everybody, welcome. Hello and welcome to... Sure, there isn't a number. No, this is just me, Tony C. Smith, sitting down. Just, it's a Wednesday. And I thought, you know what? I'll sit down and we'll just have a chat about Sofa Notes again, just to see if I can get you to go over there and have a listen and possibly subscribe. And like I say, we are 3 episodes deep into Sofa Notes, myself and Brian Alexandra, the futurist and writer. And it's really becoming like a really nice thing just to sit down with Brian and chat about technology and link it to like science fiction or anything like that. And it's just... There's so much happening. You know, one of the biggest things to worry for us was, you know, because in the gardening world, in the gardening world, I do a show on a Monday night called the Potty Mouth Garden Club, where there's 4 of them. We've been doing it for nearly a couple of years there now. And I always wanted to do like a news topic scenario at the beginning of the show. You know, just like they kind of read out, oh, this is happening. There's nothing happening. Nothing. There's hardly any news in that field of gardening. Do you know what I mean? It's just the same thing. You plant your carrots, you plant your tomatoes, you pick your tomatoes, and that's it. You know what I mean? It's not a desperate thing, but it's just what I'm not used to. And I was thinking, if that's the same as Sofa Notes, then it's going to be a little bit strange just trying to get content. Oh man, I've signed like a couple of like sites to like, you know, pull their stories from, and there is so much happening, and it's almost to the point now you can just really wait till the last day of before the recording of Sofa Notes and just have a look. And there's so much, you know, when we talk, we kind of talk for an hour, you can't get through that many topics, you know what I mean? There's 5, 6, 7 sometimes, but there's hundreds of news articles coming out of technology. And again, just knowing science fiction and Brian knowing science fiction, we can kind of link it back, you know, and just link it back to certain writers, certain genres, you know, like certain styles of writing, specific books, films, TV shows. And it's just, you know what I mean? And again, we're just having fun chatting about science fiction and technology, and that's what, you know, kind of even the basis of Starship Sova is, you know, that's them fundamental building blocks. But what I wanted to do is, yeah, I thought, oh, you know, we'll play a couple of excerpts from it, and there's a little one, and it's just, you know, one's actually just a couple, 3 minutes long, is just a little snippet I broke out where we're talking about, you know, we there's been all this talk about, you know, the three-body problem. And what was a really nice thing was The Verge, a website, a technology website, did this. You know, if you've seen the TV show or read the book, you know, there's this kind of VR head mask on it. And The Verge does this with quite a few things that come out like this in a TV show or a film. They'll do a review of it as if it's an actual product. So we chat about that. And we've also got this kind of private members feed on Patreon, where we talk about a certain subject, and it's just like extra content. And I thought, do you know what, we talked, the very first episode we did, we talked about Vernor Vinge. You know, unfortunately, he's passed away just a few weeks ago. And it was just nice to talk about Vernor Vinge and talk about, you know, Rainbow's End and everything like that, because, man, did he see the future. Do you know what I mean? It's just quite, some of these writers, do you know, like say, Philip K. Dick, Gibson, they had like a magnifying glass into the future and they could see, you know what I mean? A magnifying glass. That's why I was never a writer. So I'll play a couple of them. There's links in, if you have a look on your kind of phone or wherever you listen to the show notes, there's little links there to the show. And, you know, if you subscribe, that would be fantastic. It'll be just nice to kind of start to build the numbers up on Sofanos, because it's going nowhere. And I'm getting a website built as well. So I'll let you know about that. So enjoy. Brian, have you got $10,000 spare? Because listen, you could buy a flame-throwing robot dog. And you know, the funny thing is, Brian, this is from Ars Technica. Some people will just buy that. You know, there's some people that have got silly money just lying around, and you can end up buying yourself the Terminator, the first flamethrowing wielding robot dog. It's completely legal in 48 US states, only in America. Definitely. Honestly, I know I'm kind of, well, do you know what I mean?
I could see
we wouldn't let this
I could
pass.
See Australia doing it.
It gives you information about what you've got, your physical health, the artifacts you're carrying. And what's fascinating about this is that it takes place in a post-nuclear society, a wasteland, a ruined civilization. And the Pip-Boy is designed to look like 1970s technology. It's got a nice green and white background. It has, kind of clunky graphics, like 8-bit graphics. And it's fantastic. Everybody in the games, everybody in the TV show has these. You know, you wear them every day to, you know, show where things are. It's just a great, great idea. And if you haven't played the games, do watch the show. You don't need any background for it. It's a great mix of post-nuclear story, extreme violence, and a lot of comedy, and some really good characters. The show is remarkable. It's got to be the best video game adaptation.
Hello again. Yes, we're back for a little private little chat now. Indeed. Brian, how are you doing, sir? Yes, we're talking about a writer that we lost just not long ago, Vernor Vinge. And, you know, we've had, as we've been kind of putting this show together, we've kind of mentioned Vernor Vinge and we've talked about Vernor Vinge. But I was gutted, to be honest, and there's a couple of reasons why I was gutted. I was obviously, he's a great writer. Do you know what I mean? It's like his stories, Brian, his, you know, ideas. I've just listened to on Audible, Fast Times at Fairmont High, I think it's called. I think it was somewhere around in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, he nearly nailed his colours to the mast and got it nearly perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? His whole vision of, like, you know, how connected we are, how to kind of interact on computers and how chat and upload and download and everything like that. There's so much he got, you know, like the foresight this writer got. And but what gets us a little bit, he never, for me, never wrote, he wasn't a prolific writer. And I just wish there was more. I mean, some of his works are massive tomes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, certainly big, chunky volumes. And I just wanted more from him, do you know what I mean? And I think his last novel was Rainbow's End, you know, wasn't it? Around about 2006, 2008 or something like that.
What's your thoughts on him, Brian?
Oh, I think he's just one of the major SF writers of our time. And one of the things that I admire about him is his willingness to change up what he does. And so, for example, you've got the Fire Upon the Deep and Deepness in the Sky, which are these gigantic space operas, you know, with galactic conflict and a thousand things going on. I love space operas. So those two made me absolutely happy. And they're epic steel. And then he does Rainbow's End, which is completely different. I mean, it's a small scale. It's a book about education. It takes place in the near future. That's incredible. And then he's just hugely influential. I mean, things like True Names, which is this remarkable, remarkable story. Very, very influential for 1981. And this is, you think about the technology that's available. He imagines a group of hackers that are talking with each other and doing hacking things around the world. And then one of them is apparently not exactly what they seem. And I don't want to spoil it because I think it's a delightful story. But it's way advanced. I mean, it's a key step in the development of cyberpunk. You put this up there along with Neuromancer just to say, what was brain stretching about taking computing really, really seriously. And there are novels of his I haven't had a chance to read yet. The Bobble books, what are they called? Peace War, Marooned in Real Time. I mean, those sound very, very exciting. I'm really curious about them. And you mentioned Fast Times at the Fairmont High. I mentioned this to you. I've been putting together a book proposal, a science fiction anthology of science fiction stories about education. And I would, this is one of the stories that for me would be the linchpin.
Right.
And that's a story that we're really living in so many ways. I'm just fascinated by him, and I think that's a loss, as with any death. But I think he produced a serious body of work that we should never pays attention.
It's what you said there, though. You know what I mean? You can do these like big, massive space opera books. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like I mean, they were giant things. You know, the one Hugo's, the one All Sorts, and then to come back with Rainbow's End, which is just this like almost enclosed little novel of like, I'm not saying family life, but family life,
it really is.
And what a book that was. Do you know what I mean? And funny enough, Brian, I think I've mentioned this before, but when myself and Kieran did Starship Sofa in the early days, we read whatever year it was, I can't off the top of my head think when Rainbow's End was up for the Hugo Award, but there was Blindsight by Peter Watts. There was Elfenheim by Michael Flynn. There was a few up, and we read them all. You know, we got through them all. I don't know how we did that, but we got them all. And it was Kieran that plumbed. He said, Rainbow's End, out of all of them, was his. Now, I didn't at the time. I went for Michael Flynn's Elfenheim, which I loved.
It's a really good book.
Great book, but you know what I mean? I think that the test of time, Peter Watts' Blindsight, you know what I mean? It's as well. I also remember, I wasn't so keen on, you know what I mean? But he is a lovely chap, Peter Watts. I mean, I used to get him on the show, to be honest, and have a chat with him now, you know what I mean? Because it's been a while since I've talked to Peter Watts. But, you know, it's Blindsight was always the one that just didn't hit the mark for me. But God, that was another great book that everybody raved about when it came out.
I think Vinge's work really stands out, and very, very different from those. I mean, like Watts, he's got hard science, but he's going in a very different direction, and he's also not quite as dark as Watts.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think if our memory serves, I'm sure we ran a story on Starship Sova by his ex-wife, Joan Vinge. I'm sure we had a story written by her narrated. And I can't even remember I don't know if I'm just getting it's a long, long, long time ago, probably in 2008 anyways.
Was
but
it,
I read Snow as Queen? Well, Brian, that he had the end of his life. He had Parkinson's disease as well, so I'm not sure if that was a contributing factor, but he seemed to have, like, went earlier than, you know, way earlier than that, you know, he should have done. So, disappointed to lose, like, a great writer. And just that, again, I've seen that book, you know, the one you mentioned there, True Names, Brian, I've seen that. It must have been a reissued, you know, done up fancy, but about 4 years ago, I didn't pick the bloody thing up, you know, because I'm writing the Kindle and, you know what I mean, everything's digital now, and, you know what I mean, I haven't got, you know, if you look behind you, you've got books, you know. Actually, I don't know if you can kind of just see, I bought the other day my first one for a lot, like a physical book.
Oh.
Cory Doctorow's Red Team, Blue Team, I think it's called.
Nice.
That was the first one I've bought for a long, long time, like a physical book. And do you know what it was, Brian, as well? It's just, I'm total, you know, Kindle now, because I picked that book up and I sat down and, you know, it was bedtime and I was like, well, I've got to have the light on. Do you know what I mean? There's loads of, like, little, you know, which you don't think about in the early days of reading or reading. And I finished about a page and a half on that book, and I had to buy it on Kindle so I could kind of, you know, keep on reading it, you know. So
I find this when I travel that I resent bringing a physical book just because it's, you know, too much to carry. But also I've had perfect vision for most of my life. What's the number ratio? Is it 4:4 in Britain?
We call it like 2020 vision.
So you're using 2020. Okay, good. Yeah. Because I think 4:4 is or 5:5 is the metric one. But a few years ago, I had to have reading glasses, and I found out that, you know, some of my books, it's just pain. I see. I mean, and just to be able to immediately, easily change text size is just fantastic. On the Kindle, and I'll read on laptops and so on. I think, you know, thinking about Vinge, one of the other things that I just found so powerful about him is this. I mean, there's a sense of optimism. There's a very humane sense of using technology for progress in a way. I mean, this even shows up in the darkest moments, like Deepness in the Sky, which I think is terrific, is in part about a character trying to recover from a terrible loss and trying to regain his previous strength and vision. And, you know, you see this in Rainbow's End, where you have all kinds of in effect, there's a great subplot in Rainbow's End, which is a satire. Well, actually, there's two satires. There's one that's a parody of Google book scanning, and another one satire of fandom. In a way, using augmented reality, and these are gentle satires, I think, and no one wants. And yet, you know, it's about human growth. We have the main character who, it begins, is a terrible person, a horrible human being, and he gradually humanizes. You know, he gradually becomes a better person through, in a very, very believable way. I think that's really important. We live now in a time where we have lots of dystopian science fiction, especially in young adult. I think that, and this isn't Pollyannish or utopian. I mean, I think Vinge is always very realistic and very balanced, but I admire that spirit, and I think we can use more of it.
Well, it almost harks back to what we first started, the first show with, when we were talking about this red one gene, dampening that down.
Yeah.
His character in Rainbow's End has got dementia and is coming out of, you know, there's like a therapy, there's a treatment to cure dementia. William Wu? That was like, again, when did Rainbow's End come out there? 2006? And he's thinking up these ideas, you know, like a treatment for dementia and, you know.
That's an incredible thought. And then what happens afterwards? You know, what happens to someone who goes through dementia and loses so much information? So for listeners who haven't read the book, the main character is a poet who comes back from a terrible experience of Alzheimer's and dementia. And he basically has to go to high school in order to learn how to fit into the new world because he's lost 10 or 20 years. And he hates it.
He's a terrible person.
Well, Andy's, if I'm right in thinking, if I remember, again, spoiler, sorry, he's lost his ability as a poet as well, hasn't he?
He's
lost that because he was one of these characters that could, you know, poetry was, the words just came for him. I think he kind of described it as, you know, it was just like so easy to kind of write these, like, these lovely lines or these lines of poetry that just flowed on the page. And after the dementia, well, dementia took it away from him, but the treatment didn't put it back, which I thought was, a great handicap or a great tool by Vernor Vinge to use to strip him of that kind of gift and to let him, you know, face whatever he has to without that, without his kind of almost comfort blanket of being like a classic poet. He's got to go through, what you said there, he's got to go through into, you know, almost kindergarten school to relearn everything. But a great character who comes, you know.
A terrific character.
Great and then on
top of that, the fact that this just occurred to me, the Vinge goes back to his roots in True Names, that the framing device of the novel is a hacker plot, and it's not quite fully explained. There's a character who's a rabbit and who intervenes and does things. Again, if you haven't read it, I don't want to spoil it, but it's a nice for me. It's a nice hearkening back to his.
If I remember, I haven't read that one, but I think it's just a short novel. Is that right? It's just
I've got it around here somewhere. It's 250 pages. You know, it's
right. I thought it was just when I seen it, I should have just picked it up. Do you know what I mean? Because never seen it since this version, this copy of it. I've never seen, you know, some of the greats. You don't see them now in the shops. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of fantasy, you know, young fantasy that takes over the shelves of science fiction these days. But
well, it really can. But I mean, this is where the digital world becomes so powerful. I mean, I don't know what the situation is like in the UK, but you can borrow a lot of ebooks from American libraries. Which is still a really nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
I subscribe. I don't know if I should add you to this list, Tony. This might not make you a popular person. I subscribe to a few services which send me sales on ebooks, and the sale price is like, you know, $2, $1. And so I have an email list. I send these to friends and I recommend some of the titles. I think that's a great thing. Plus, I'm a used bookshop fanatic. I used to work at one, and I just go to them wherever I go. And of course, when I'm in London, I go to your Charing Cross. Right?
Over here though, Brian, as well, this is what I just found out from a podcast. If you are a library member, you get subscriptions to the Times and the Financial Times, you know, because you can go to libraries and read newspapers. And on the internet, you know, you've got to pay for these subscriptions. Well, apparently that's all rolled in with a library ticket. You can read it online free as well over here in the UK, like certain publications that are charging. So,
yeah, here it depends on the library. So my university library has a lot of that. So this is where I can read, you know, your Financial Times. My local public library doesn't have that right now, but they should.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is living in the future, being able to have, you know, access to all these digital texts, which is phenomenal. I when I would go on a long trip, I used to fill up my satchel with a half dozen books. And, you know, pure weightlifting to carry these things around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been, honestly, we've been like, you know, on family holidays where I've took like a few hardback, you know, a hardback as well is as we're going to start seeing like Chunky Monkey and... It's fair weighs you down where the Kindle came along for me and, you know, I'm an impulsive buyer. Do you know what I mean? If I had a Kindle now, I would look up true names and buy, you know, just for the sake of getting it and seeing it, you know what I mean? So that's a remark. And I suppose I'm feeding, you know, the mighty beast of Amazon again there. Do you know what I mean? So.
You see, well, now what I want to do is I want to go feed some more Amazon, and I want to grab Beast War, because I've never read it, and
which is the one, Brian Byam, where the land on a planet and it's Is it dogs like rule the planet? Yeah. Is that?
Yeah, it's Fire Upon the Deep.
Is that the Fire Upon the Deep one? Right, because yeah, I've read that one. And again, I must have read Rainbow's End first before Fire Upon, because that was the first time I got introduced to Vernal Vinge with this, you know, like Hugo Award reading. So I went that way, you know what I mean? So I went Rainbow's End, Fire Upon the Deep, which you couldn't probably get two different novels. Right. If you tried.
Right. No, I love Deepness in the Sky. That's I think it's a prequel to Fire Upon the Deep.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't want to spoil it, but there is one technology aspect to it, which is fascinating, having to do with a very tiny, airborne computing bits that you can connect with. But it's an epic book with some, I mean, lots of emotional power to it. And again, it's another doorstop. It's, you know, 800 pages or something, but I would also recommend just grabbing Sure Names. It's, I don't know, 90 pages or max, and it's a winner.
Just before we go, Brian, just out of curiosity, what physical book are you reading now? Are you reading a fiction book? Because I'll tell you what, I'm reading on my Kindle. Shall I tell you? And this is for research, because I don't normally go back and read. But for the next show, I've been doing a little bit of research there. And I'm reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Purely because of, there's a bit of technology out there, and it's very resembling of Babelfish, you know, the Babelfish popping in the ear technology there. So to be honest, that's it's a remarkable one. And one of my dogs is called Douglas. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, nice.
It's just like Douglas is, you know, and the number 42 is so many throughout our house. You know what I mean?
Even when
I think you mentioned on an email once, like, have you got your towel, Tony? You know what I mean? It's just
exactly.
Like, yes.
Well, I'm reading a couple of things. In terms of science fiction, I'm reading a very, very strange book called There Is No Antimimetics Division, which is a novel about an online project called the SCP Foundation. And I don't have time to explain this right now, but it's a very, very quirky novel about an organization tasked with protecting the world from anomalies that could do terrible things to people. And it's about one of those anomalies, which is difficult to think about. I have to explain SCP Foundation in another show, because it's a fantastic thing. But also outside of science fiction, but inside of technology, is I'm finally reading the great Indian classic, the Mahabharata. But the technology part is, I've got a paperback of it over here, right? And it's got tiny font, so I'm going to strap on the headgear for that. But I'm also reading a digital version on my phone, and I'm listening to an audiobook version. So whenever I'm biking or exercising at the gym or making food, you know, I'm doing that at the same time. And it's fantastic to do this.
Definitely.
It's a complex book, so I have to reread parts of it to keep up. But also just, you know, hearing the audio is fantastic for the accents and the voices. So, Tony, I'm out of time. I have to run.
Yes. We, it looks like we can just keep on chatting away and chatting away. Brian,
wish you a pleasure.
Until next time, then. Look after yourself, Brian. Take good care.
Too. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye, all.
There you go. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, just a little couple of things just to keep you, you know, a little 20 minutes listen before you go to work or after work or even lying in bed. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you'll kind of pop over to Sofa Notes, like I mentioned just there. Links in the show notes as well. So please, until next week, just like I say, good night from me.
Thank you for listening. Slowly won't get to you.
anytime soon. Can you reach me? Is my signal getting through? Turn on your radio, I wanna talk to you. This signal's going light speed. By the time I get my say, I might already be on to you and on my way. But you're so far from here, and at best I'm moving slow. So I'm waiting on your call at home with nowhere to go. Can you reach me? Is my signal getting through? Turn on your radio, I wanna talk to you. I wanna talk to you. Cast myself on a radio wave, I might get to you someday. If books were rocket ships, I'd need only the will to fly. I'm still building word by word, and I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.